Up next on the program, we're joined by a gentleman who is a drummer, percussionist, songwriter, and singer of the five-time Grammy-nominated group Ambrosia. We are thrilled to be joined this afternoon by Burley Drummond. Burley, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you, man. It's a pleasure to be here. And you forgot to mention that I was an erotic dancer, too. But I appreciate it.
I saw that. You know, I didn't know if you wanted to go there or not.
No, I gave it up a long time ago.
I want to go back to the beginning, if we can. You guys have been together for such a long time. You were formed in San Pedro, and that is a very diverse area. Did that have a big influence on your early sound?
Well, I think it did. I think, San Pedro was kind of a melting pot. It was a port town. It's the port of, Long Beach, San Pedro is the port of Los Angeles, so you had all ethnic races there, and so you heard and encountered people from all over the world, and it kind of opened us up to music from all over the world, and I think it really influenced our writing. So yeah,
and you were already studying that kind of thing in college, studying ethnomusicology, and all of you sort of had your own musical preferences coming in.
Yes, that's very true. I mean, everybody had, it was four, fairly diverse people in style and like, even though we shared common things like the Beatles, of course, and certain, the Rolling Stones, but, I was the ethnic guy and the jazz guy, and Chris North was kind of a blues guy, and Dave and Joe both had, Dave was very pop. Beach Boys, and Joe was very singer-songwriter, like Jackson Brown, So we have, four different things coming together.
So you're making your first album. How does a brand-new band get Alan Parsons to come mix the album?
Well, we were very lucky in that sense because we had just finished the album, and he was coming to town for the Grammys. I think he won a Grammy that year for Dark Side of the Moon. And so we arranged to have him come by and hear our material and hear what we were doing. And when he heard it, he said, yes, he'd be delighted to mix it. And that gave us a lot of credit, that Alan Parsons would consider mixing us. And so we realized we must be on something good.
That first album was so tremendous, and it caught my attention because as a young guy, my favorite writer was Kurt Vonnegut, and you had me at the beginning with the first cut. Nice, nice, very nice. How did that happen that you took a little bit of Cat's Cradle and turned it into such a terrific song?
Right. That's the song of Volcanon from Cat's Cradle. And I tell you, in our naivete, we wrote the song. Joe Puerta of Ambrosia came in one day with these lyrics that we were writing. We had a song in progress. The sonnet that he brought in was called Nice, Nice, Very Nice. And we had some other title for it. And the lyrics of that song of Volcanon fit perfectly in Nice, Nice, Very Nice. So, Joe co-wrote a second verse to go with it. And we finished the album. We finished the mixing and everything. And then one day toward the end of mixing, somebody asked us, hey, did anybody ask Kurt Vonnegut if you could use his lyrics? we all panicked, like, no! So we contacted his lawyer and sent a recording to him. And luckily, he accepted graciously and said he was delighted and honored to be a part of our music. So it worked out beautifully.
And you guys ended up meeting him a little bit later, is that right?
Yeah, we did. And that was a whole interesting experience because we went to his townhome in New York, and we were led upstairs to his writing room. And when he answered the door, of the room to let us in, he was so deep in a character that he was writing that it took him a few minutes to become Kurt Vonnegut again. I mean, it was like an amazing transformation before your eyes. And it made me really respect how deep an artist can go and what they're doing.
You also worked with Leonard Bernstein on that first album, and you ended up getting pretty close to the Bernstein family, right?
Very close. I used to date his daughter for for a minute, and Jamie, and they were wonderful people. I mean, of course, you know, Bernstein, whether he agreed with you or not, it was always exciting, and just the discussions alone with him will last a lifetime. So it was a wonderful experience.
We're talking with Burley Drummond of Ambrosia. You guys were nominated for Grammys for the first album and then followed it up with Somewhere I've Never Traveled. And that was very different. How did you approach it differently than you did the first album?
Well, I think we were kind of, once we were solidified kind of in our kind of art, progressive music vein, when we did our first album, we did like 60 demos of everything from country music to pop music to the prog, you know, progressive side. And the president of the company, Russ Regan, came in, and he's the one that discovered Neil Diamond and Barry White and Olivia Newton-John and Elton John. So, you know, he had some good set of ears. He came in and he picked like three songs. It was Nice Nice, Holding On, and Mama Frog, I believe. And he goes, this is the direction I want. He goes, all this other stuff is very good. He goes, I don't have this. You know, I have pop music, but I don't have this kind of music. Can you give me an album like this? So we felt, you know, we finished the first album, and then the second album was kind of a continuation of that. And then we got, you know, influenced by adding orchestra to a big piece called Cowboy Star. And, you know, the second album wasn't as commercially popular because we didn't have the hit on it like Holding On to Yesterday. And so that was kind of, after that, we moved on and went to Warner Brothers and started having a few hits, you know?
So. Sure did. We played the title track of your third album that you co-wrote, Life Beyond L.A. I love that song. My favorite song on that album, and I always thought it could have been a huge hit if it was released as a single, was If Heaven Could Find Me.
Wow. Well, that's a great honor that you said that, because I wrote that one. You know, I mean, the music business is very fickle. You know, you usually get one shot or two out of the gate, and How Much I Feel obviously was a no-brainer that was going to be a single. And I don't know what we released after that. It might have been Can't Let a Woman or something like that. I'm not sure. No, Can't Let a Woman was on the second album, I believe. I forget what we released after that. But, you know, once you release a single that doesn't happen, it's hard to come back with another one.
Sure, and once you release How Much I Feel and it becomes a mega hit, all of a sudden you guys have been a progressive band. Now you're an R&B band.
Well, that was interesting, too, because, you know, we kind of grew up with the theory that, you know, we were kind of modeling ourselves after the Beatles somewhat in the sense that, you know, they could write anything. And, you know, they could write a song like Yesterday and then do a song like I'm the Walrus. And it makes me wonder how they would have done later on if they had come out, like, say, 20 years later, if they would have had the same success or if labels would have tried to pigeonhole them like they tend to do an artist today. You know, they want a similar sound. They want something they can sell, they can market. So, you know, who knows? When we changed, we wrote songs for the sake of writing songs, and we were influenced by what we were doing. Like during our first two records, we were playing a female gay bar down the street, and that's how we made a living. I was playing like five nights a week there, and all they wanted was R&B. So we were playing all the R&B hits, and you know, that kind of influenced what you write. So all of a sudden here comes How Much I Feel, and then, you know, Later Big Part of Me, You're the Only Woman. You know, those were all probably directly influenced from playing that bar.
Your fifth album, you added a new member of the group, too. Bruce Hornsby joined up for Rhode Island, and that was a different direction, too. And it was more more back, I guess, to the way you guys started out, that more progressive sound.
Yes, that's true. Well, during our tenure at and Warner Brothers, we met a man named Bob Bregare, who was instrumental in bringing us to Warner's. And after we had done two records, we finally met this guy. And he was, like, telling us that the reason he brought us over to Warner's was for us to continue our prog side. And we were never aware of this. And so that gave us license to go back to doing the prog. Or having songs influenced by prog and taking instrumental chances and going, you know. So, but by the time we finished the record, he had passed away. So we delivered the record to Warner Brothers, and they were kind of like, what's this? Where's Biggest Part of Me? Where's, you know. it was like, that's what I'm saying. The music business is just fickle. It's all about timing, luck, everything, you know, lining up just right.
Well, you guys continue to play and sound as good as ever. You've got a very busy tour schedule, and you've also, you got some family on board as well. Your wife, Mary, is a big part of the band these last several years.
Right. Yes, thank you. And she is, I think, one of the stars of the show. She, you know, we actually do a little tribute to Bruce Hornsby, and she does some vocals that I think she's just tearing it up. And it really makes it worthwhile for me. The road is not the easiest place to survive. So with my wife there, I'm much happier. That's great.
As we said, you guys have played so many different styles through the years. You have so many interests. It's a very eclectic sound. These days, you're often lumped under the header yacht rock. Do you like that designation?
It's funny. It used to be called the West Coast sound, you know. In Europe, they always refer to it as West Coast music because, you know, us, the Doobie Brothers, Toto, all those kind of bands, you know. Even artists like, say, Robbie Dupree, who were East Coast, kind of had a West Coast sound to them. So I don't really mind yacht rock because it's brought a whole new audience to the band, and it's kept the music, like our hits, especially, alive, and it allows us to tour in a lot of different settings. It's good. It's been good. I mean, I wouldn't have chosen the term yacht rock, but you know, I guess that comes from Christopher Cross's Sailing. I guess I don't. But you know, come on, it's a door that opened up and we were able to walk through it, you know?
Well, yeah, and you get new fans and new generations of fans every year. And I love the singles, but I hope, as somebody who's loved the band since the beginning, I hope they go back and listen to some of the great album tracks as well, because there's so much great music there that didn't get heard on the radio that should have been.
Well, thanks. You know what happens now? I mean, when we first came out with, say, with How Much I Feel, you know, it's like there was FM and AM, and, you know, and they both stood their ground, you know, like, so, you know, we were kind of FM darlings before How Much I Feel.
Right.
You know, and actually there was a time when we went to a few FM stations during the release of, Life Beyond LA, the album, and they were, you know, they were kind of mad at us for having released a single like How Much I Feel. And it was kind of like, you know, here we were thinking, you know, we were doing the best songs that we had at that moment. We were just trying to fulfill them the best we could, you know, and we didn't mean to insult anybody. But nowadays, jump forward to when we play today, all those songs, the prog songs, Nice Nice, works perfectly with How Much I Feel. It's like, it's not like night and day anymore. It all seems to just flow together. And so you kind of really wonder what the hubbub is all about, because it doesn't seem to affect anything now.
Well, I've loved your music for a long, long time. It's a real treat to talk with you this afternoon. Burley Drummond from Ambrosia, we wish you continued success. Enjoy your time out on the road and in that still important exotic dancing career.
Thank you. Well, keep staying safe. Thank you.
There you go. Thanks again, Burley.
My pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Burley Drummond of Ambrosia.